And now, beloved, may we turn to the Word of God, 2 Kings chapter 22. This is the little man, the little boy who did big things. It was one of the early evangelists, I think it was Dwight L. Moody, who said, "It is yet to be seen what can be accomplished by one man totally yielded and dedicated to the Lord." He added something else which is not often quoted, and it is this: "By God's help, I will be that man." As I looked over these scriptures this past week, I somehow was reminded of something we used to do as kids. Have you ever done this? You're standing by a pool of still water, and you toss in a pebble, and you hear it plop, and you see those rings start going out from the plop, right in the center, reaching way out. That's kind of the picture that I get when I look at the life of Josiah, this godly young man who at age 8 became king of Judah. Before we plunge into the Word and do a plop into the water of the Word of God, however, let's go aside for a moment before the throne of grace. Father, we recognize that we're totally unable to understand your Word properly aside from the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, and we're asking for that because we desire to understand, and all of us together can receive a good, heavy application of your Word to our heart to become a part of our very lives as we serve you. Help us to understand and use it for the glory of the Lord Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Now, a lot of the scripture that we have in 22 and 23, as well as some over in the Chronicles, I'm going to kind of give you a summary in order to save some time and get as much of the drift of the lesson as we can, because it is a powerful message to us about what one individual can do. One individual, even if he's a little boy, at age 8. It is my opinion that God wants us to see in this passage of Scripture what you, as though we're just small, little nobodies, little grain of sand on the beach, but how important we are and what we can do when we are yielded and committed to His Word. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Basketh. And if you scholars, I don't get those exactly right, I hope you'll forgive me. Some of those names are jawbreakers. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the way of David his father, turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, very early in his life, this is my belief in reading, he had an experience with the Lord. I believe there was a definite experience at a moment in time when he was about 16 years old, in which the Spirit of God came upon him, that's my opinion, and he immediately began to seek the way of the Lord. But here's something we must remember. This is amazing because there was no Bible. He'd never read the Bible. Oh, it existed. It was in the temple, but nobody had read it for years. Many didn't even know it existed. There was a copy, however, that had been stashed away, hidden by Manasseh. And I believe the reason that he hid the Bible is that he really didn't want it read, because he knew the power, the very power of the reading of the Word of God. So he hid it. Nobody will even know it's here, and therefore it can't even be read. But this young man is going to begin to do something under the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And like that little pebble in the stream, you're going to see a circling out of the influence that the Word of God is having in the life of this young man. Well, the first thing he says he's got to do, and again, I'm passing over this rather quickly, so as we can get into the reforms that occurred. He decides that he wants to do some work on the house of God, that is the temple. We're going to renovate. Now, I just wonder if there's any money in the building fund. And so he sends someone up to Hilkiah, the high priest, and he's asking the question on behalf of the king, what's in the building fund? Do we have money? Yes, we do. Let him deliver it to the hands of the doers of the work. Now, these are the carpenters, and these are the masons, and these are the architects, and these are the people who are going to do the work on the house. And here's something that is absolutely amazing. Go ahead and deliver them the money so they can get started on rebuilding the temple. And oh, by the way, there does not have to be an accounting. I read that, and I was just kind of stunned. You mean no accounting? For all this silver that is going to be used to refurbish the house of God, that's right. Why? The Word of God tells us it's because they are good, solid, honest men. Wouldn't you like to have a work crew like that? You don't have to worry about whether they're going to put something in the side of their pickup and take off tonight after work, or have a little bag that they keep little goodies in that they stash away for themselves. These are good, honest, solid people. That was very inspirational. But here's where we really get interesting. Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, he's kind of like a secretary of state or something. Guess what I found? I found something you just won't believe. Hilkiah said, no, what is it? So Hilkiah said to Shaphan, and this is verse 8, I found the book. What book is that? The book of the law of the house of the Lord. So Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it, and he said something equivalent to this. This is dynamite. So he gets it back quickly to the king, and in verse 10, Shaphan read it before the king. I don't know how long this took. I'm sure that he had selected certain passages to read to the king, but the king listened intently. And it came to pass, verse 11, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. Number one, now the pebble has been dropped in the pond, and we're going to see the effects start spreading out right away. So the first thing, I think the first lesson that I see is, when we hear the Word of God, we must allow it to have its place in our heart, our minds, and our spirit. There used to be a little song we sang in Sunday school a lot, Send a Great Revival in My Soul, you know, and it goes on to say, let it begin in me. Because when we want to have any kind of an effect on anybody regarding the Word of God, its first effect must be in us. So the pebble has been dropped, he rent his clothes, and now he's going to get busy. The first thing he does is to send someone to the prophetess Huldah to ask her for her interpretation of what's happening. And basically what she's saying is this. Because the people, this is verse 17, have burned incense to other gods and have forsaken me, therefore, wrath is kindled against this place, and the wrath of God shall not be quenched. Bad times are coming. However, because, verse 19, thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, and so on, judgment will be stayed. And it will be disdained for all of your life, Josiah. It will not come until you have passed away. There's something very significant about the death of Josiah, and that is this. the world power known as Assyria that has taken the northern kingdom away and has remained away to this very day. That kingdom collapsed in the very year of the death of Josiah. But then we have another world power coming into play, and that is the kingdom of Babylon. And as you know, there are only five world kingdoms ever that matter as far as the Word of God is concerned. And the United States is not one of them. Egypt, Assyria, which is now in the state of collapse as we're reading, studying this portion of the Word of God. Babylon is on the rise. That's the third. The fourth will be Greece, and the fifth will be Rome. And there will be, and that's it. That's it. But never ever think that Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And never think that all the king's horses and all the king's men can ever put Humpty Dumpty together again. Did you know that was written about the fall of the Roman Empire? It was. It is said that they cannot put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's not true. Humpty Dumpty, that is the Holy Roman Empire, has been put together today as we speak. It's known as the European Confederation. Well, we'll get into a little more of that maybe tonight. But what I want to say is that world empire died with Josiah. God stayed his judgment because of that one righteous young man and the desire of his heart to do the will of the Lord. And remember, it was at Moody or Torrey, I've forgotten which. I think it was Moody. What can be done when one, just one individual, can be totally committed to the Word of God? Well, all right. Now let's see the circle of influence spread in verse 23. And now this is going to be a busy little boy. Believe me, he is. The king sent and gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. King went forth to the house of the Lord, all the men of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, priests, got the preachers involved here, the prophets, people, small and great. And guess what happened? He read in their ears the word of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. So this man who had been so stirred by the hearing of the word of God now shares it with all the preachers, all the priests, all the leaders, all the elders, all the people. And the king stood, verse 3, by a pillar made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, keep his commandment and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. And all the people stood to the covenant. So there is the gathering in one accord, a commitment to the covenant, a commitment to the word of God on behalf of the king. All the preachers, all the elders, and all the people have now been drawn together in a commitment to the Lord. This is going to stay the judgment of the Lord until he dies. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple. Now, I want you to listen to what they're bringing out of the temple. I mean, this is the house of God. They brought out the vessels that were made for Baal. What? Vessels made for Baal in the house of God? Who's Baal? Who's this guy? He's one of the gods. Oh my, bring forth out of the temple of the Lord the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove. What is the grove? The grove are these artistic images of the goddess Asherah. Now Asherah was a Phoenician goddess, but she was worshipped in various countries under various names. But this is the goddess of fertility. And if you want to know the vile practices that were done in her honor and unto her, all you've got to do is, and I won't go into any detail, I will just say, remember, she was the goddess of fertility. And these statues and figurines were very explicit. but were considered to be great works of art. Now, God had said that these things do not belong in the house of God. As a matter of fact, not only in the house of God, they don't belong in your house either. Today, we would look on these and say, my, what magnificent works of art. And someone else will say they're vulgar. But they're works of art, so therefore it's okay to have them in the house of God. Well, no, it isn't okay to have them in the house of God. God himself has said so. Well, they were taken out. That's what the groves are. For all the host of heaven. And burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron. Carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Why Bethel? Well, Bethel is where an occultic altar was. An altar to foreign gods, heathen gods. And what he is doing here is defiling these places of so-called worship of Baal and Asherah and the hosts of heaven. And in verse 5, he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained. Now, savor that moment. The kings of Judah had ordained these occultic priests, idolatrous priests, who are worshiping the groves, the images of Baal and Asherah. And they burned incense in the high places in the city of Judah, and the places round about Jerusalem, and also that burned incense unto Baal. Watch this, to the sun. Worshipping the sun in the house of God? That's how low people had stooped. And let's not forget the moon. I mean, we can't overlook the moon, but wait, we're not through. There are other planets we can worship too. And all this is occurring in the house of God, among God's people? That's right. That's right. It gets worse. Hang in there. Don't leave me now. It gets worse. And to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought the grove. Remember, these are the little figurines, the images made to the goddesses and the gods. From the house of the Lord without Jerusalem. To the brook Kidron, burned it at the brook Kidron, stamped it in small powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down all the houses of the Sodomites. I said it got worse, and you think it can't get much worse than this. There in the temple courtyard and in the temple itself, there were these little sections for the male prostitutes. And their actions were called worship, so that made it okay. But it was happening in the environment of the house of God. How low can you go? That were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove, that is, the statue. So the women would make special little articles of clothing and, you know, decorative items that they would hang on the nice little figurines and artistic creations. And he brought out, the king, all the priests of the cities of Judah and defiled the places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba. Geba is, I recall, I didn't bring my maps, but it is slightly northeast of Jerusalem, Beersheba south. West of Jerusalem, it encompasses most of the land of Judah. I think the author here is just telling us how widespread his influence is. See, the pebble has been dropped, and the circle is widening, the circle of his very godly influence. He break down the high places and gates and so on. Nevertheless, the priests, and it gets worse, I warned you. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem. They did eat of unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth. Now that's a place where child sacrifice was practiced. It's in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. Apparently, This is child sacrifice. Apparently what they did, and please forgive me, but everything I've read about it says this. This was the place of child sacrifice. They cast their children into the fire to sacrifice them to the great god Molech. And he took away, this is now, we're still talking about Josiah, he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun? That's right, sun worship. So he took away the horses and the chariots that had been dedicated to the great god sun. I know you're saying these are pagan people. No, this is God's people. And he took away the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made. Let's go on down to 13. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand, the Mount of Corruption. That's Mount Olivet, by the way. And this is going to shock you as to why all this filth and these terrible practices were made on Mount Olivet. Get set. You're not going to believe this, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians. Solomon did that? Yes. Why? I'm not going to take the time to get the scripture to read it, but you know why he did this? Because his wives worshipped all these gods, and he wanted to be a nice guy and say to his wives, "It's okay, go ahead, honey." And so he built them these places that they could worship. Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And they break in pieces the images, cut down the groves, fill their places with the bones of men. This was to defile them so that these people were very superstitious. And say they brought their superstitions into the people of God. And one of the superstitions is when you place the bones of men there, it's defiled and we can't do our worship there anymore. These superstitious practices had now infiltrated the temple and the lives of the people of God. Wait! Let's don't get too judgmental on these people. We have to point fingers at ourselves and ask, don't we do the same thing? Yes, we do. I've gone over these many times because these superstitious practices have infiltrated even the lives of you and me. Well, let's see. How are we coming on time? Okay, we have a few minutes, so I want to get to an important point. Very, very, very important point. Let's start at verse 19. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, and they burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. And the reason the men's bones, again, is to defile them, because superstition said once the men's bones are there, the place is defiled. You can no longer, watch my quotes, worship in that place. I'll tell you, this boy has really done a good, thorough job. Let's go back. It all started with the reading of the Word of God and its effect upon this young boy, Josiah. And he really starts his act of cleansing in the house of God and among the people of God. Now, thorough cleansing. Wonderful. He's had a very good meal. But now the meal has to have a crowning touch. All this activity now must be brought together in one solidifying, joining together event. This is just beautiful. I have a friend. I guess he's still living. I'm not sure. His name is Hayden Huddleston in Roanoke. He's an advertising man. He's just a delightful individual. And he coined some phrases that are still used there in Roanoke, have been used for many years. And one of them was with a coffee that was roasted by a roaster there in Roanoke, the Woods Brothers Coffee Company. And the line that he coined for that coffee was just so beautiful to show you how important that coffee is to your meal. No matter how many gourmet treats you may have in your meal, or whether it's just bacon and eggs or whatever it is, but all the gourmet treats you have in that meal, you got to have a cup of Woods Brothers coffee. Because, and here's the line, it's the crowning touch of every meal. The crowning touch of every meal. Josiah is about to give us the crowning touch of that delicious meal that has now been served in the name of the Lord. And that crowning touch is the Passover. Verse 21, "And the king commanded the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God. It is written in the book of the covenant." Because everything that we have done, everything that we have done is based on the Passover. We must keep the Passover. And we read this very carefully to show just how important it is. Verse 22, "Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of Judges that judged Israel, nor in the days of the kings of Israel, nor in the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holding to the Lord in Jerusalem." Now, I want you to see that. "There was not holden such a Passover from the days." Doesn't say it was not the only one. I think it was Hezekiah who had one too. But this one was a grand event to show that it was the crowning touch of all of his activities to restore the temple and the lives of Judah to the Lord God. There was not such a Passover holden like this one. The Passover is the crowning touch of all of these activities. Now, I'm sure you see this coming. If there is anything that makes us what we are, it is our remembrance feast. May I reverently say it is the crowning touch to our gathering. I always say this. Been saying it for years. I never have altered the way I say it because I believe it with all my heart. I cannot see, I cannot understand why at the Lord's Supper there is not standing room only. It is the crowning touch of the way we gather, of all the furious activities to get Israel back on the track and the house of God cleansed from all of this filth and garbage. Out of all the activities, the crowning touch finally came. They celebrated the Passover. Got a couple of minutes, and I've underlined a couple of things in our lesson booklet that I thought were very, very powerful. I'd like to read them to you. Number one, "In the days preceding Josiah, the word of God had been first neglected, then completely lost sight of amid the rubbish that had accumulated in the temple." The word of God was lost in the garbage of the temple. Now, the temple was the house of God, but the word of God had been lost in the garbage of the house of God. The word of God had been lost in the garbage that had accumulated in the house of God. Now, the garbage was all these little nice little figurines that represented little gods and goddesses out there. And there's wonderful, wonderful activities that are so modern and up to date that puts us, they don't laugh at us from not being up to date anymore. These are events that look benignly upon the activities of the Sodomites. We don't call them Sodomites anymore, but that's what they are. But we're modern and up to date, and we look benignly on these, and we look upon these rites as being modern and up to date. but it's garbage. You go back and read of all the things he cleansed out of the temple and out of the activities and daily lives of the people, and you see that there was no room for the Word of God. But when they found the Word of God, only one man really put it forth, and he was moved by the Word of God, and he insisted that everybody hear the Word of God, and they stood together in the Word of God. Just the very reading of the Word of God has a powerful effect on our lives. That is, if we know the Lord. Once found, the neglected book was consulted. Then they decided to keep the words of the law and the statutes to do them. I hear, it has an effect on my heart, and I pledge that I'm going to do them. I'm going to be faithful to the Word of God and do its commandments. So it has an effect on my life. So there was conviction. Why? The book asks. The answer is because he believed what God has said. He believed what God has said. I said he believed what God has said. Sometimes we hear it, not sure we fully believe it and commit ourselves to it. These are good points that are made, and I wanted to share them with you. And then they entered into a covenant, the king and the people. They were together on their accepting God's word in their commitment to the word of God. And guess what? Blessing followed. Idols fell, feast was kept, and all Israel rejoiced. All because that one little pebble was dropped and its influence spread from himself to his own people, spread to all of the nation, and God's judgment was stayed for as long as he lived. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for your word, for these moments around your word. And we're just asking that as it affected this very tender young man, that it will have the same effect upon us, that we too can have our influence spread as ripples in the water. The stone has been dropped. We hear it, and we hear the word, and may our influence also spread in a very beautiful, powerful, and effective way as we witness for the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.